Scouting out of the blue corner. He gives you your football meat and potatoes style and is the undisputed king of detailed player analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Steve the Scout.
Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout. I am the voice of the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. I am the undisputed king of detailed player analysis, and again, I will show you why. Thank you for joining me today. Today's episode is titled, The Five Things We Fail to Understand About Eli Manning, because I believe he is one of the most misunderstood players in the NFL, good or bad. I have both good and bad things to say, but the things I'm talking about, I think, are things that are misunderstood and some things that are oftentimes very much forgotten. So, a couple quick announcements that I will make. As I mentioned last week, we now have episodes that come out every single day. The only day I don't have an episode come out is going to be on Monday, because quite frankly, on Monday, we're mostly just still trying to catch up and understand everything that happened over the weekend in the different football games. Friday, you get my advanced game preview. Sunday, you get my post-game analysis where I really break down things around the league. And that show is called Scouting the NFL. And, you know, this week was week 10. Next week will be obviously week 11. Another exciting announcement is we now have advertisers on board. So if you do want to advertise with us, you can send an email to stevethescout81@gmail.com. We currently have PayJunction and SeatGeek aboard as advertisers, so excited to bring those guys on. And without any further ado, let me start off by breaking down what I saw on Sunday Night Football, followed by the five things we fail to understand about Eli Manning. So, New York Giants got the win against San Francisco. Everyone can read a scoreboard, look at a stats box, but it's the devil's in the details. Let's talk about that. The New York Giants, the protection was not there all night. I feel like the announcers and everyone was saying their pass protection was phenomenal. It was good. It was just a lot better than what it's normally been. The pocket still did collapse at times, so I think it was a little bit over-exaggerated how good their offensive line was playing. But they gave Eli Manning a hell of a lot more time than what they usually do. Some good play was shown by guard Jamon Brown, who is a brand new addition to the New York Giants. And he showed that he could play at the NFL in years past. Interesting how the New York Giants actually got him. They got him because the Rams picked up Dante Fowler. They had to let a player go. It was Jamon Brown because he lost his starting job due to a 2-game suspension. But really, I think he's shown that he's a guy that can play. I have not personally watched a lot of tape on him. So just being honest, I'm just going by what I saw tonight and what I've read. But he did a good job tonight. He wasn't perfect. He got pushed back into Eli a few times, but on a lot of critical downs, he was good. Nate Solder played better. The offensive line just played better overall as a unit. And when they play better, look, Eli Manning is a different quarterback, and I'll kind of talk more about that. But Eli played well. There were a couple throws in the game where Eli underthrew receivers, but for the most part, he had more time. He looked like a better quarterback tonight. San Francisco 49ers young quarterback Nick Mullins. Before going into Nick Mullins, let's give credit to Kyle Shanahan. He now has had three different QBs who he has gotten to play well. Jimmy Garoppolo, I think, is a hell of a talent, but I do believe Kyle Shanahan made him better. CJ Beathard, Kyle Shanahan definitely helped him play better. And I think he's done the same with Nick Mullins. But it's not to take anything away from the quarterbacks, not to take anything away from Nick Mullins, because Nick Mullins tonight, despite throwing two interceptions, he impressed me again with his quick release, good accuracy, good poise. He played with a nice wide base, had good feet work in the pocket, and he looks like a veteran in the way that he freezes defenders. So there's some really good things, you know, to like about him. Does he have one of the strongest throwing arms in the NFL? No, but he's shown a lot of intelligence for a guy with that little NFL playing experience. So You know, that's why I say the number one thing you have to look for with a quarterback is intelligence. You know, you cannot win in the NFL with, you know, a big, strong country arm and fancy feet. You need a lot more than that. And he's showing me a lot more specifically in those things: his release, accuracy, poise, base, feet work in the pocket, and just the way he freezes defenders. New York Giants safety Landon Collins, he got torched all night by George Kittle. George Kittle is a hell of a talent. Not only has he been a hell of a receiver, he's been one hell of a blocker this year. Taking on Justin Houston, earlier in the year, making a big block on him. They showed that tonight. But I've had a chance to watch a lot more of George Kittle blocking lately, and I've really gotten to see that he is really a hell of a blocker. I felt like Landon Collins was capable of playing better. I really did. I've seen Landon play better. I really felt that he was playing a bit uninspired. He took some bad pursuit angles on tackles and in coverage, and just allowed George to get too much space. On the Giants defense, positives definitely for Lorenzo Carter and B.J. Goodson. Lorenzo Carter had a penalty that cost the Giants, but ultimately, when he was in there tonight, he hasn't registered a lot of sacks this year, but what he's shown this year is that he can affect the play and he can get pressure on the quarterback. So I'm excited to see how that young player, Lorenzo Carter, the Giants' third round pick out of Georgia, develops. B.J. Goodson, I said before the year, he's the Giants' middle linebacker, came up with two key interceptions tonight. Yes, Mullins threw two interceptions, but outside of that, he played good. Again, devil's in the details. You got to look at the game tape. It doesn't lie. You can't always just rely on stats. It doesn't tell the whole story. But B.J. Goodson had some nice tackles, but really had two key interceptions. So he was just good. And I really think that B.J. Goodson, because of his coverage ability, is definitely a better fit in the Giants 3-4 system. So good play from him tonight. And now I'm going to get to really the main thing I wanted to talk about is the five things that we fail to understand about Eli Manning since we're talking about Monday Night Football. Today is the 89th episode of the show, and the first one I'm doing exclusively about a player on my favorite NFL team. Now, I know what you might be thinking. You're thinking he's biased. It's his quarterback. And look, I can be a lot of things. I can be ambitious. I can be decisive. I can be hot-headed. I can be level-headed. Shit, I can be violent and I can be sweet and romantic and overall just really good looking. But seriously, I have been watching Eli Manning for almost 15 years. And one thing, and I don't mean to sound arrogant, but one thing that I have that most people don't, and let's just be honest, is specialized education from NFL scouts and GMs. And yes, I do, on how to scout the position. Again, not trying to sound arrogant, just give me a little credit here. Okay. So breaking down Eli Manning and some of the things that people miss. Promise I'm going to get to that in a second. But you know what football fans, you know what we have an overabundance of in terms of football fans? Same thing with politics. We have people that are filled with emotional bias. And you know what people with way too strong of an emotional bias can't do? They have a hard time looking at things as objectively as they think they are. I will tell you, when I'm pissed off, I think I'm looking at things objectively, but I'm usually not looking at them as objectively as I can be. And emotions will do that to us. And I think a lot of New York Giants fans, not a lot of New York sports fans in general, they are very emotional when it comes to their reactions of their athletes. You can call me an a-hole, but it's true. But I think most fans think their knowledge of the game is better than it really is. And they think they're being a lot less biased or unbiased than they really are. One thing I'm not, I'm all those things. Like I said, I can be ambitious, decisive, hot-headed, all those things. But one thing I'm not is I don't succumb to emotional bias when I'm evaluating players. There, I said it. Finally got the point out. Good. So New York Giants fans, we have this whole back and forth thing with Eli Manning and the offensive line. Is it Eli? Is it the offensive line? And yes, I think most of us that understand the game and watch it closely can probably say this season it looks like it's a combination of both. Is that fair enough to say it looks like it's a combination of both? However, there are simple truths that I'm about to point out, and I got to say these are things that I think People are missing. Good and bad. Because I'm not here just to say Eli's great. You know, Eli has 5 years left. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just giving you an objective way to look about things from someone who understands how to scout the damn position and someone who's been watching almost pretty much every game Eli's been in since 2004. So, number one, I think there is a misconception that his arm strength is not there, and that he can't cannot deliver the ball anymore. Yes, he has had some poorly thrown balls this year. He's had some times where he's underthrown receivers or even overthrown receivers. He underthrew a big pass downfield tonight to Odell Beckham that could have resulted in a touchdown. But when I talked about emotional bias, what I find with emotional bias is that we find one or two plays we don't like about a player, and then we harp on that. We harp it to freaking death. But outside of that, Eli Manning showed tonight that he still has the arm strength to make plenty of big time throws, and there have been examples of that all year long that his arm strength is still there. Now, does this mean that there's not been a slight drop off in his arm strength? No, there has been a slight drop off, but what I'm saying is it's not nearly as much as people say, and that is the gospel truth if you really examine it. At times, I think he's thrown some bad footballs, but what you're asking is he still capable of delivering big time throws? Yes, and that to me is indisputable at this point. Go back and look at the tape tonight. Not saying he has one of the strongest arms in the league, but he still has enough arm strength to make you know those throws. Second thing, to his discredit, and I think we failed to realize this, he is one of the worst quarterbacks in the league under pressure. One reason why he's not an elite quarterback, he's a good quarterback, but he's not elite. And I don't really think, you know, except for maybe a couple years, he's really been an elite quarterback. But one of the things that makes him not elite, again, I'm not a homer, I'm just being objective, thank you, is Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, even a non-mobile quarterback like Philip Rivers, they all play better than Eli Manning under pressure. That is the truth. So to his discredit, he is one of the not so good quarterbacks in the league when he's under pressure. So again, number one, the thing we fail to understand is we think his arm strength isn't there, and it still is. Number two, we forget how much his play differentiates when he's under pressure. It's so much more than other quarterbacks, and I'm talking about switching from having protection to not having protection. Third thing that we miss is that his bad play is more of a result of him developing bad habits under duress. Since 2004, I've seen it time and time and time again. It's safe to say I've probably watched more Eli Manning tape than you have, and I probably know how to scout the position better. You want to call me a dick, an a-hole? Great, but I'm just being honest because I'm tired of misconceptions out there. I'm not saying he's elite. Not saying they shouldn't draft a quarterback, but people don't get how much his play differentiates itself between no protection and good protection. It's so much more than other quarterbacks. That's why he's not elite. But you know, you look at him this year in terms of let's look at his timing, his confidence, his reading coverages and a variety of other things, his bad throws, you know, the times when he didn't see Odell Beckham open. I firmly believe that the reason why this happens is that he is hearing footsteps all the time. And for those of you, including myself, that have never played the quarterback position, we really don't understand how much those things can get thrown off. We really don't. So it makes such a big difference. And the fourth thing is that when he's protected, all those things that we've seen this year, not having the timing, the confidence, the reading of coverages, the bad throws, when protected, we typically see throughout his career, all those things go away. When he's not protected, they always come back every single time. That is the truth about Eli Manning. Pre-play, coverage, timing accuracy, not missing reads, open receivers. He is not a functional QB in this league right now without a good offensive line. However, when protected, he is still a top 15 quarterback in this league. And considering there are more teams now with starting quality quarterbacks that have their franchise guy more so than ever before, it's pretty good to be a top 15 quarterback in the NFL nowadays. And the fifth thing is this, and this is a little bit different. And this is just more speaking to his legacy. Do I think he's a Hall of Famer? I think he's borderline. I wouldn't say yes for sure. I could easily be a homer and say yes, no doubt about it. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. But again, emotional bias, not my game. But when you look at Eli Manning, to say that he's never done anything outside of those two Super Bowl wins is preposterous. Tonight on Monday Night Football announcer Boogie McFarland said Eli Manning has never made the playoffs outside of his two Super Bowl runs. Well, Boogie, he actually made the playoffs six times: 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2011, 2016. So out of 15 seasons, he's going to make the playoffs six times. So let's not say that he's never done anything outside of the Super Bowl. He's also made multiple Pro Bowls outside of those Super Bowl runs. So let's to say that he's never done anything outside of that is a bit of a stretch. But my final analysis on Eli is, again, yes, he can still play, but unless he has a lot of protection, he is not a good quarterback. But really, he never has been when he's constantly under duress. So I think it's really, you got to protect him. He can win. If you can't, you can't win with him. And if the Giants, if they fail to address their offensive line, you're going to continue to see this bad play by Eli Manning. But if you can add guys like a Jerron Brown, like they did this past week, and some other guys play better and he's protected, you'll see that a lot of these bad habits go away. This is Steve the Scout with the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.